You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Hey, welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, your perspective is the way that you really see the world around you. You know, have you ever tried to actually see the world through someone else's eyes? You know, how often do you actually put your life into absolute perspective? When was the last time that you set aside your preconceived ideas and thought about things outside of that? When was the last time that you did research on something you didn't completely understand? Wow, that's a lot of questions, I know. Woo! But over the past few months, I began doing some research on a condition known as Down syndrome. And I think a lot of people have heard of Down syndrome. I think it's universally people know about it. But did you know that in every cell in the human body, there's a nucleus where genetic material is stored in the genes? Yeah, I know. Genes carry the codes responsible for all of our inherited traits and are grouped along these rod-like structures called chromosomes. I know, I sound like the science guy tonight. I know, I do. But typically, the nucleus of each cell contains 23 pairs of chromosomes, half of which are inherited from each family member. You know, and Down syndrome occurs when an individual has a full or partial extra copy of chromosome 21. That's one chromosome. Do you understand? One chromosome change. One thing in number 21 changes everything. You know, you either have Down syndrome or you don't. I think that's really interesting because I didn't really know all that information, and I'm sure a lot of people listening tonight didn't as well. So I think it's interesting to kind of educate yourself on these things that we kind of have an idea about, but we might not necessarily know everything about it. You know, later tonight, Perspectives will discover how to open your eyes to new possibilities by putting a stop to assumptions and training yourself to understand that some of these notions that we've already like accepted in life might not be true. You know, the only way to be yourself is to be you, not your parents, not your past, and definitely not your environment. It's pretty true. Huh. Okay, so Chris Paloha will be joining us as well to discuss the recent released and acclaimed film Produce. Chris wrote and directed the film, and Chris, with a K, played the role of the ex-baseball pro player that lives his life in the bottom of a bottle and eventually has to get a life do-over that comes to him with the help of an unlikely source, which is very interesting because a lot of times we've talked about life do-overs. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in the future, but when we get a life do-over, it can come from unlikely sources and help from other people, not just necessarily ourselves. Sometimes we need other people's help. For everybody listening tonight, you have to understand that this is Perspective's 100th show. 100th show. Not the 10th, not the 20th, but the 100th. And it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal because most people don't survive this long. They just don't. Because they just, like, you know, they get over it. They get out of the game. Or they just don't want to deal with the game anymore.
Yeah, they want to come up here on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever.
Or whatever day. Monday through Friday. Yeah. You know, X time. The point is that we love what we're doing. What's up, Billy Boy? Are you happy this is our 100th anniversary?
You know, I am ecstatic. I'm not just happy. I'm ecstatic. Because for the reasons you said. First of all, your show rocks. Of course, we all know that.
God bless you. Thank you.
We'll talk about the raise after the show. And but yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of shows don't last 100 episodes. Mm. And, things happen. People, you know, I'm going to be a big radio star.
They cut the shows, you know, and everything's done. It's over, you know?
Right.
And so we're lucky to be still here. We're lucky to still be alive here. It's a good thing. But also, we have a good show. The thing is that we have this, like, really cool original content, and I think that's what's kept us here, and God bless y'all for keeping us here, because you actually listen to what we have to say, and you listen and you like the show, and that means something, and thank you so much, because I can't wait to the 200th, because that's a big deal too. But in the meantime, I'm going to be loving life, I'm going to be experiencing life, and I'm going to be thankful for what I have. Matthew, good to have you in tonight.
Thank you for having me again.
It's pretty cool about the 100th, right?
I'm extremely proud of you. I mean, it's amazing what you've covered the ground, and looking forward to the future.
Awesome, because you're going to be here in the future. You're going to definitely be here in the future. Dano, how you doing?
Hey, happy 100th.
Thank you so much.
Where's the cake?
I know.
I was going to say, she didn't look a day over 25, does she?
Nope, not at all.
And more computer problems here. Hang on. There we go. Tell you what, the gremlins are out in full force to help you celebrate.
Oh, they love it.
They love it too.
They actually
wanted
to come out and help us out tonight. This is so cool. I really appreciate them coming out, but they can also calm down a little bit. But yeah, you know, life is really funny because, you know, when you hit that 100th mark, I don't know about age, and I think we might all have a chance of actually, you know, experiencing that, but the 100th mark on the show is a very interesting concept because, you know, you love what you do and you do what you love, but also on top of that, you've embarked on something that's become, it's become a lifestyle. Not only a lifestyle, it's something you're going to do for the rest of your life. And so it's pretty interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's talk about a few weeks back on perspectives. You know, we explored the benefit of receiving a life do-over. And I remember looking through a lot of things online as well as YouTube and as well as like Oprah Winfrey and all this kind of stuff. And there are so many millions of people out there that want a life do-over. It's important to them. There's some aspect of their life that they absolutely royally screwed up, okay? Or they felt like their part of their life was taken, or their innocence was taken, or something was taken, and they want to get it back. And so, you know, what does a life do-over mean? We talked about that. And how would it really change your life? We talked about that as well. And, you know, I've had a life do-over, and I've seen the parallels and the mistakes that I made in the past. Okay, I've seen it. I was able to overcome them by stopping my particular cycle of self-sabotage. And I think a lot of times we all have our particular cycle, our particular flavor, mind you, of self-sabotage. Well, I prefer to do this to myself, you know? And a lot of times you have these issues where it's very independent and individual from other people, but however, you're still sabotaging yourself. You know, these do-overs don't come to you by doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It's actually quite the opposite. You know, you have to change your modus operandi, and stop the recurring self-sabotaging cycle because it keeps you on the sidelines of life. You know, for some of us, the friends or lovers we choose are constantly toxic. I know I hit a chord with some people. I could actually feel that. We constantly make bad decisions. We undervalue ourselves. We look to drugs, sometimes alcohol, to help us cope. Or we just know or don't know another way at looking at life. And a lot of times that happens because it's the human condition. We are human. We go through these processes. And in order to get a life do-over, you have to go and kind of stop the first cycles of your self-sabotaging behavior. But also, the only way to actually stop your cycle of self-sabotaging behavior is to be able to identify the cycle and decide, honestly, what needs to be changed. And I know about a lot of listeners tonight actually, you know, queued in, commented in on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram about various toxic issues that they're dealing with. And I commend you for even being able to see that it exists. You know, throughout your life, you meet people, you experience all these kinds of situations and circumstances, and you really take back these memories from everything you do. You know, the human condition is the experience, the emotions, right? The feeling, the thinking, and to be alive. Throughout our time on Earth, we seem to have programmed, you know, some say jaded ourselves to various aspects of life. And sometimes the least likely person can become your best friend, and other times you may learn from someone who seems less than you. Once we realize the concept, honestly, of love and eliminate fear and the concept of personas, facades, some might say, we are then able to see life for what it truly is. Life is a very interesting concept, basically, is what I'm trying to boil down to for you tonight, is that sometimes the least expecting person that could teach us something teaches us something. And if we're open to it and allow it to be, our life can be that much better. If we don't, we just miss it again. And it'll come back again, but it could be years to come back. And so, with that said, I realize this is a big deal tonight. We have Chris Dowling and Chris Pohala here with Produce that'll be coming on here in the next segment. We'll be talking about how to deal and how to change your life perspective to open those options in your life that you might not necessarily know is a possibility, as well as you might not even feasibly understand where it's coming from, but you have to change your comfort zone a bit. So stay tuned because we have a special 100th show for you tonight. Look forward to this interview and perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Will be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly, but I ain't got wings.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Or even because he was a Detroit Tiger.
What?
Oh! But simply because it's his birthday. Give it up for Calvin Campbell.
Damn, you drunk again, Mr. Campbell?
Where do you think you're going?
Out with Colt?
You were 16 years old.
I'm 17, Dad.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm fine.
I'm doing good. Even when I'm doing bad, I'm doing good. Maybe I
didn't care to see. I'm not going to sit here and debate some loser who can't get over the fact that he was an embarrassment in the majors.
Do you want to come to a church with me?
No.
In my head, I may not know.
This is the most embarrassing moment of my life.
What I feel down in my soul.
Well, sometimes life is not fair.
Welcome back here live on Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And, you know, we have a great show for you tonight. We've been talking about, you know, changing your perspective, and we're joined tonight with Chris Dowling. Chris Dowling is the writer-director of a film called Produce, and Chris has gotten a lot of acclaim for his film because it really talks about a life change. It talks about opening your perspective and seeing things a little differently. Thank you for joining us, Chris. How are you doing tonight?
That was fantastic. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad to have you on.
Glad to be here.
You know, we talked a few weeks ago, and I said you have to come on and do a whole show because we were doing this, you know, from one of the film festivals and talking, and I just really felt that you had something to say, and you really have a great film. You know, when did you begin writing Produce?
You know, it was a funny journey. It was something I had written a while back, and kind of revisited once we were trying to find a project to shoot in a small town, and it just felt right. And it was just a journey. Like, it started with this faith, this narrative that focused on the faith of Calvin and the main character kind of finding his faith. And the conduit for this is a character named Produce who has Down syndrome. And once some producers came on board, Jose Pablo Cantilla and Milan Chakraborty, we started to kind of really build out the character of Produce. And it kind of started to become more of a passion project from the, you know, the DS part of it. And then once I met David, who, you know, ended up playing Produce, it was all over. He was just, he's such a dynamic human being, and it was just an amazing experience.
What was really the time between the script to screen?
Honestly, it's probably like an 8-year process.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. That's a definite journey. That's a definite journey. You know, let's first start off with, you know, give our listeners really a good synopsis of the film.
It's about, and the cool thing, I think, is it applies to everyone, but, it, you know, it, even though it has the, you know, a special needs character or a character who's, interested in discovering his own faith. But really, it's about a guy, Calvin, who had it all, was the number one baseball player in a small town, goes to the majors, has panic attacks, and just falls apart completely. He's sleepwalking through life, moves back to a small town. He's raising a daughter he has no relationship with. And every day he's passing this guy who is happy and who's joyful. And he just thinks he's that this kid is too dumb to get that he's missing out on the good stuff in life because the kid has Down syndrome. And slowly he starts to realize that maybe he's the one who's missing out on stuff. And it really speaks to that, you know, how we all are. We're all chasing things, and sometimes we pass by people every day that they get it, and we think that they don't get it. You know, it's like I said, it was very interesting to watch Calvin's journey, then to feel it myself as I was going through this process and getting to know David as a human. It was it became art imitating life.
That's awesome. You know, I don't think many people actually get the chance to do that because they don't allow themselves to do it. I don't think a lot of people give people credit where credit's due because they look at personas, they look at facades that becomes their life. You know, when you began casting this film, you know, I know you had to cast various roles. Which roles seem to be the easiest to cast?
The easiest was, to be honest with you, was kind of David. I mean, we went through a process of seeing actors that had DS, and David has never acted before. But when the intangibles were there, and we knew we were going to shoot in Kentucky, we were going to shoot in his hometown, and he had such a huge personality, it actually, at one point, it became a no-brainer for me. And it was like, we just got to go with this kid and just, and he's going to be the X factor. And we're going to roll the dice and see what we get out of him. And again, like, he just blew me away. I mean, all expectations I had with what he was going to be able to do, and he just surpassed them in a way that I would have never bet on.
That's pretty amazing. So, you know, I think a lot of times people don't experience that.
Yeah, and so David was actually, once like I said, once we really thought about it, like, David is pretty easy to cast. I mean, the other thing, I mean, it's kind of a little harder to cast someone like Chris Palaha. The main character is playing Calvin. He has a lot of heavy lifting to do, obviously. It's really his story. And we knew from the get-go he was going to be acting opposite an individual who has DS that has never acted before. And so that was something where there's a lot of maybe bigger names that were getting thrown at me from the producers, and I totally understand it, but I was like, I need someone I know that can carry his weight and that can hold these scenes. And he has a lot of important scenes with his daughter too. That is a storyline that I really connect with. You know, I'm a parent, and so Chris is such a solid actor. And although he's had a bunch of TV shows, like, he wasn't as big as some of their names that were thrown our way, but I knew he was our guy. Like, he's good.
So you really felt like Chris could relate well with David as far as in the film as well as outside the film, being able to work with them together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I needed someone I knew wouldn't have an ego, first of all. Not that I want to work with people that have huge egos anyways, but you know what I mean? Like, life's, you know, especially on set, like, you know, it's too short to work with people that
life's hard enough, right? Life is hard enough when you have to deal with people with huge egos. I mean, it's like you have to, like, literally massage their ego. It's almost like, what's the kind of, like, beef out there in Japan that you eat and they massage, like, the cow?
The Kobe beef?
The Kobe beef. It's like, you have to massage the ego on a daily basis, and it gets a little overwhelming. It's like, why can't everybody just come to the plate with their talent and respect for other people? But sometimes it's hard to do that.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. No time for that. From PA to lead actor, I had no time for that. And so, and I knew Chris would do it, and I knew he'd put in the effort. I knew he'd put in the effort to get to know David on a personal level, and it wasn't going to be a paycheck. And it was like, and it all, everything came together in that manner. I mean, like, when you watch the film, and you see the relationship that they have on screen, and it's pretty awesome. You go back, and then I tell you now that they literally met the day before shooting, and it's something that's pretty amazing. Like, it's just a powerful statement to how their relationship bonded, you know, off screen as well. I mean, like, these guys had one day to even get to know each other before they're throwing, you know, jumping into these scenes where they're, you know, going through this journey that's going to be a 90-minute, you know, expedition of their characters.
That was actually going to be my question. What was their chemistry like on screen and off screen? Did they get along really great off screen as well?
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was. It was awesome. Like, they got along so well. Like, David had never acted before, and, you know, there's a tendency to get overwhelmed, whether or not you have a you know, a special need or not. Like, I mean, your first time on set, there's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of people, and I think especially with me, myself, and then Alex Lehman, our DP, and Chris, like, we really built up a relationship with David that was built on respect with each other. Because that's one thing that was really big with David, and it was very evident. Like, if you gave him respect, because he didn't want to be treated with kid gloves. He's just a dude. He's a 21-year-old dude. So if you respected David, then he would give you respect back. And he didn't want to have people kind of pussyfooting around and stuff. So I think the three of us were really good about that. And then also, like, showing the kid some love, because who doesn't want love? So it was cool, man. I mean, you always hear, like, kind of the summer camp feeling on set, where it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, I promise we're right, or we'll talk, and it's like you go down the hill, and then, you know, you never talk again. But, like, we've all kept in contact too, and, like, I talked to David, and, you know, and Chris talks to David, and Alex talks to David, and then, you know, David. So it's just a cool thing, man. It was like, if we you know, we referred to ourselves as a family. We all got T-shirts made that said Produce Family, like, and that's really how it felt on set.
And you got the T-shirt. I like that. You know, I think Down syndrome, amongst other genetic conditions, really are understood somewhat by science. I really do, but not by the outside world. You know, I ran into a gentleman, I guess it was yesterday, Earth Day, who was speaking of his uncle with Down syndrome. He had passed away, and he was at the funeral. And he said that when he was giving, like, the eulogy, you know, the relatives were like, I had no idea that y'all did all these things together. I had no idea that you were going fishing and doing all these things together, and you really experienced that. And they go, really wish we would have opened our mind to that. And he said, well, it's sad because he's dead. It's done.
Yeah, and I think we're kind of stuck in like some outdated stereotypes of like the limitations that are put on the special needs community, and I think it's the only limit. I mean, and we've said, you know, Milan, producer, and I said the only limitations that these people really have are the limitations that we put on them, and it's very easy to group them together and say, oh, but you know, they can't do this, they can't do that. But David is an accomplished athlete. He's an amazing dancer, better than this. And by the way, he's smarter than some of the people in my crew. I would have that dude with me on Jeopardy before some of the people I had on my crew.
I love that. You're like,
that's cool.
For 500.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, real quick, this is Bill. Kind of touching on what you just did, a lot of people who are going to see this movie are going to have preconceived notions about folks with special needs. Did you take that into account when, going through the script and going through the directing process?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was going through it at the beginning, and starting out on this thing, my wife, she's like, oh, well, you need to read all these books, you need to do all this research, you need to figure out, you know, what you're going to do. And I just told her, I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to act like he's an individual, and we'll just see, we'll go from there, we'll figure it out. And so I feel like I approached it that way, and I feel like it paid off. Like I didn't going into it, I did have like from a broader, like I think maybe what you touched on too is like the general perspective of like, yeah, I actually had limit. Like when we first sat down, I slid him over the script and I looked at him, and it was awkward, man. I was like, so can you read all of this? Because I didn't know. And he looked at me and he goes, Dowling, and he licked his thumb, and he already memorized all his lines. Like, it was crazy. Like, and it was such a weight off my shoulder. So, I think it was something where we knew we were going to try and just make it him an organic character and not be like, this is a movie about Down syndrome. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want it to feel like that.
Yeah, it's not a documentary.
Yeah, it's just about this guy, and he just so happens to have Down syndrome the same way that that Brooke Burns so happens to be a woman, or that Clyde Jones so happens to be African American. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just make it, build it in, and let it be organic, and let it just play, and let it be a slice of real life instead of, you know, going, hey, this guy's got Down syndrome. Let's make sure we all realize this, and we know this, and we really talk about this, because in real life, that's not really how we do it. We don't really sit around and go, hey, did you see that kid that has Down syndrome? And then we just pass him by, and that's what happens until we get to know him and engage him.
I was about to say something, but I'm going to leave that out. But I do know a lot of older Jewish women that would actually whisper things like that to each other, you know, like cancer, Down syndrome. But when we come back, you know, perspectives with Chris Dowling. I think I'm going to call you Dowling from now on. We're going to return in a few minutes with Chris, and we're going to talk about the recently released film Produce. It's got a lot of acclaim. Our perspective is something we craft independently, you know, throughout our lives, and only experience and knowledge allows for change to that perspective. So feel free to stay tuned, because we got a lot going on. We're going to talk more about the film. We're also going to talk about how you can actually expand your perspective, but also as well, open yourself up to a different lifestyle, and also make yourself an independent, make yourself you, not your parents, not your environment, not what you're told. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
With my eyes, I may not see.
Did you look at her bottle?
Not yet.
All that burns inside of me.
Don't you think it's about time you got a real job again, Dad?
All right, so who is she?
Who?
This friend you've been spending all this time with.
Hi. Is that for me?
Yes, it is.
Thanks.
Come on, I got number from the flowers department.
I'll tell you something. You spent a second with this kid, and you realize he's just like you and me.
You feel sorry for him?
No, I feel sorry for you.
Stand strong, hold on to hope.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, if you're just now joining us, we're talking Perspectives with Chris Dowling, and I believe Chris Pulaha is actually joining us as well. Dowling is the writer, director of a recent film, Produce, and he recently released and critically acclaimed film. You know, it's about an ex-professional baseball player who finds purpose, faith, and family with the help of Down syndrome friend named Produce, which I think is very interesting. And Dowling, you know, let me ask you a question real quick. What was your favorite scene to really direct?
Oh man, that's a hard question because there are so many different reasons why something could be my favorite. But I will say there's something that was unplanned, and there's this part in the movie where basically Calvin has bottomed out and he's back in his old high school and he's hitting these baseballs by himself at midnight, just getting drunk as he can. And it really is his low point. And it just so happens that the day we were shooting, and I feel very blessed with this, it poured rain like a monsoon. I mean, the wind was blowing the rain and sideways. It was raining so hard. On film, it looks epic. I mean, epic. Like, we couldn't have paid to have that production value.
I saw that scene. I saw that. It was amazing. I mean, it just looks absolutely like 24 karat gold.
Yeah, thank you. So, for me, like, that scene was magical. And again, my DP, Alex Lehman, jumped out there in rain gear, and the crew was awesome. And literally, Chris was out there for probably an hour and 30 minutes in this cold rain and just hitting balls, running around the bases, doing whatever we asked him to. It was pretty amazing. And like I said, when you see it on screen, it feels so big. And I was really, really thankful. And like I said, felt really blessed that we were able to get that moment.
Hey, Chris Pulaha, I think you're joining us right now. Okay, so explain to me this scene that we're talking about. How did you like being in that scene? How did you feel playing that character?
Well, you know, I think that it was, for an actor, it was kind of a dream come true to be able to go out on a baseball field at night in the rain and not only play drunk, but then just play baseball for about 2 hours. And I felt like we were getting away with something. Because one of the things that you know, if you have a rain machine, if you're shooting a shot in the rain and you have a rain machine, your rain is pretty centralized. You know, it's right over the actor. It might be, you know, 6 to 10 feet away from, and so you keep this small. But with these lights on, you had rain fall and you could see it deep in the outfield in the, you know, center, right, left. And it felt magical. Like you got, and I think all of us kind of felt, you know, it was a special thing happening.
That's awesome. I mean, I saw the scene. It was amazing. And it really is epic. It really does clarify kind of the situation that you're in and where you're feeling at that time. I mean, you know, I guess when you leave the pro, you know, you leave pro sports and you kind of move on and you have a daughter and you're dealing with all this stuff, it can kind of be easy to lose your purpose. I mean, how did you feel about working across from David? I mean, did it come kind of second nature to you?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think God works in interesting ways, if I could go there with it. And I have a half-brother who was born with fetal alcohol syndrome, and he's my older brother. And so I grew up with just a deep sensitivity for people who have special needs, who are just different, you know. And so working with David really did come second nature for me, and he's such a smart, sweet, you know, he's just such a present person. And frankly, as an actor, I mean, he's just right there. He was right there. Like, it was just two people, two actors doing a job. You know, and so for me to drop into that character, I think, you know, David made it easier, but also just the idea of a guy who's got unfulfilled potential, a guy who's failed, a guy who's sort of at a dead end, you know, getting a chance and having hope for the first time in a long time. So it was a sweet place to go and sort of live for a little while.
That's awesome. I mean, I think a lot of us can feel that, can extrapolate from that. Dowling, I'm going to call you Dowling. I'm going to call you CD for right now. Have you ever dealt with a friend, or have you had a friend that does have Down syndrome?
Never before, obviously. I do now, but I've never really had anyone around me or near that was in the special needs community. But again, like, maybe it gave me a fresh perspective to come in when I was dealing with David. I mean, like, I never thought I would also at this point, like, be, you know, where I was hanging out with David, just him and I, and we were just getting ice cream or coffee, or I think he has a beer every now and again that we go grab a beer or something. And it was like, he's just a dude. Like, and so it was, I don't know, it was kind of really refreshing for me to come in, like, almost like a, well, I guess I came in ignorantly to some degree, but also to come in with like a blank slate and just
tabula rasa in the house, blank slate, doing it. No, but it's true. It's like you kind of like you learn something. You actually change your perspective. You open up your mind based on something that you actually made, which is pretty cool. I mean, not a lot of times do people put themselves out there in a situation where they create something. And in the end, they actually open their mind and other people's minds to that.
Yeah, no, like again, for sure. Like my journey in this whole, you know, process of what's happened with this film and how it's been, it was got it to some degree very similar to the journey that Calvin took in the film of passing by, you know, thinking these, you know, that these people are different, they don't get it, and then realizing, you know what, they actually do get it. Like, I mean, they're happy. Like, individuals with Down syndrome, like, they're finding joy, they're doing things. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't get it, and then opening up to that, and then going, you know what, we're very similar, we like the same things, we like to hang out. And then at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, and I got this new cool dynamic friend who I cherish, and you know, I'm sure you'd say the same about me, or we all do. Like, I mean, with Chris, like, it was, like I said, it was very much a family atmosphere. It was super cool.
That's what I really like about it, being a fellow actor as well. I love y'all's respect factor, the t-shirts. I did have one question over the script. Did y'all do much improv?
I mean, I'll let Chris run this, but yeah, I think we opened it up right off the bat that it was going to be something that was going to be, you know, I mean, like I wrote the words, but by no means do I have a monopoly on these characters. Like they all embrace their characters and, you know, really were in it. So yeah, I think we played a lot, including David, but I mean, and that's a testament to Chris coming in there and doing it. Was a lot of times he was, as the most, you know, veteran actor there with some of the scenes, like, he was the one who was setting the table. And so we did have a lot of room for improv. And there was plenty of days where Chris, I mean, where he would show up, like, I know a couple scenes where he'd show up and I'd go, hey, I completely switched the scene last night, like, we're doing this instead. And we would just go with it. And it was, I don't know, I thought it was pretty awesome. But we all trusted each other. I felt like we kind of had our own little shorthand. And we moved and we got what we needed. So, but I don't know, Chris, you might have a different perspective on it or similar, but.
Well, no, I mean, I think, I mean, if you were to go take your script and what's on screen, I think it's pretty much true to what you wrote. But what you did was allow us to go on set and just basically, there was one thing that you did, which you gave me a lot of freedom as an actor. You said, listen, if you want to just keep going or you want to say the line a couple times, you need to start over. You gave me freedom to take control of the scene versus, you know, a lot of times directors want the actors to be dependent on them for, you know, action and cut and when to do it again. And you basically gave me that control, which was amazing. Because then when David and I were in it, we could just keep running stuff and we could. But I think it all still, I mean, I don't think we ever got too far away from what you'd written.
And if you did get too far away, I let it go because it was obviously probably better than what I wrote. So we kept it probably.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. No, that's cool that y'all respect each other in that fact. I mean, what's really on the horizon, though? What's on the horizon for Produce? What's on the horizon for the film?
I mean, right now, the cool thing is, so, you know, this is a very, like, that was our first festival, and we got such an amazing response, and our Facebook page is just recently, you know, went up, and in less than 3 weeks, we've already had like over 6,000 people share our trailer on Facebook, and we're getting so many messages pouring in from literally across the world, because obviously people are, you know, are influenced and know people and are affected personally by someone that has Down syndrome. So like it's crazy. It's been a cool response. And so now we're in the process of partnering up with some potentially very big organizations, which would be amazing. We've already partnered up with about 7 other organizations that are both some in the faith world, but also mainly in the special needs community that have seen it and are true fans and are going to stand behind it. And on top of that, it appeals to a broad level. Like we've done test screenings and stuff and across the board, it was great. So, so we're going to figure out our rollout plan here in the next couple of weeks as far as what we want, which way we want to go with it, like as far as how, you know, theatrical, how big, or is it, you know, and I think that's where we're heading, but, you know, or is it a DVD, is it VOD, but at the end of the day, the support we're getting right now is telling us that we have a shot here to have something special and different than people have seen on the screen.
Awesome. Chris with the K, could you leave us with one thought here for our listeners tonight? Unfortunately, we're running out of time.
Hey, can I interject one quick thought? Can I just give the website real quick?
Yeah, we're going to ask. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go do that.
Oh, I was just going to say www.iamproduce.com. Iamproduce.com.
If you want to get more information, you can go on www.iamproduce.com. We'll give you more of that information here at the end of the show. Perfect, because I really want to get back with y'all here in the next few, like maybe next few weeks or maybe next month, and actually catch up with y'all and find out what's going on with both of y'all, like on the horizons of both of you. But for last thoughts right now, just because we're running out of time, you know, CP, what's your last thought for tonight, and then following CD, and then we'll have to cut out.
My last thought, I think, for the movie is that as an actor, you know, you're rarely given the opportunity to be a part of something and help make something that brings, I think, light into the world and joy into the world and good things into the world, especially in the movie industry. You know, you turn on your television at late night and you're watching Jimmy Fallon, and, you know, you get four previews for horror films and for movies that are, you know, just dark.
Yeah.
And this movie, what I love about it is that it's very grown up. You know, my character's drunk and he's trying to, my character's secret was that he was literally killing himself with alcohol. He was just waiting for his daughter to turn 18 and he was going to, you know, do himself off. And so it's dark and it's grown up and the gloves are off, but you get this just bright, shining light out of the film. And, you know, I know that one of the conversations is to release it in October, and I just think that would be such a great time of year to, you know, to lift it up a little bit and make something joyful happen in the movie theaters. It's just great to be a part of something like this.
I agree with you, Chris. I'm so glad you could come on tonight. It means a lot to us here, and thanks for coming on Perspectives, and I look forward to having you here on the future as well, because I think you added to, I mean, you have not only a successful character there, but you do have a lot of depth and perspective, and I'd like to hear your perspective on other things.
And the movie sounds actually very interesting, and just to let you know, I just shared it as well on Facebook.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it, Bill.
And Dowling, last but not least, let me know one comment you'd have to leave for our listeners tonight as well.
My comment is really just like, if you do want to see films like this, then that's where we need your support. So it is important that if you can go and, you know, check out your webpage to see like the trailer, just have a look at it, share it if you like it. You know, we're not going to change the world, but we are definitely, we feel like making an impact, and our film is more than just some, you know, some cheese that you might see at the theaters. Like, we feel like there's heart and soul behind it. And it was from the cast and crew all the way to, I think, what is put onto onto the screen is it's heart and it's soul, and it's a good, solid film.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate having y'all both on tonight, and I look forward to having y'all on in the future. And thanks for coming on Live with Perspectives.
Thanks, Ash. Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Good night.
So when we come back, Perspectives will be discovering how to open your eyes to new possibilities, how to stop the mental cycle of assumptions and your trained notions. You know, the only way to be yourself is to be you, not your parents, not your past, not your environment. So stay tuned because, yeah, me, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, your host, will be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight. We would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We certainly hope you all enjoy the show. And remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there's still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody. Everybody.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, earlier in the hour, we were actually talking with Chris Dowling and Chris Paloha about Produce, the latest film that they made. Very interesting, very great stuff. And it's a really critically acclaimed film that really has a lot of people looking at it because it really focuses on the concept of Down syndrome. But besides that, focuses on the concept of seeing people as people, not with their health issues, not as their conditions, and not defined as so. So let's talk tonight. I told you I was going to give you the secrets to opening your eyes and seeing truthfully the life around you. You know, how do you open your eyes? How do you truthfully see life? What is true to you? And because of the situation we're in, you know, we're kind of born into this. We were born in the womb, and the people that we call our family raise us, right? They raise us. They raise us with their ideas, their thoughts, right? Their ideas on the world, correct? Right? You know, some of the thoughts, theories, and the concepts that you are raised with And, you know, some of them are wonderful. Some of them are great. Some of them are awesome. Oh, goodness gracious. You were raised with some great principles. But other than them, maybe not so good. You know, how do you be you? How do you find you? You know, when you're shaped with your parents and you're shaped with your friends and your past and your experiences and your environment, how do you become yourself? And that's what we really talk about on all these shows. And I thought that the 100th show would be the best one to talk about perspective. I mean, you know, so far, I mean, we probably have another like 500 more. I don't know how many. So the first way to really get out of the concept of I'm living because my parents told me to do this or because I was raised this way or because that's just what I know, you know, how do you become yourself? You know, first off, you got to go out of your way. You got to go out of your way. What does that mean, Ashley? What does that mean? It means going out of your usual way, your comfort zone, right? It's surefire way to see life differently. You stand up to your comfort zone and you see the bigger picture. So if you're one of those kind of people that don't like to go out of their way, don't like to meet people, do it. Try it. It might scare the heck out of you. But you will see a different side of life and you will meet people and you'll probably see people differently. I'm telling you, go outside of your comfort zone. Do the opposite. There was an episode of Seinfeld that was really funny years and years and years ago about how George was going to do the opposite and everything seemed to work for him. And I'm not actually telling you to do that, but I am saying go out of your comfort zone and be something different. You're not always defined by these rules and regulations that you've defined for yourself. It can just be getting in the way of who you truly are. You know, second, you know, you got to see people for people, okay? You got to see them for who they are, not their health conditions, not their money, not their clothing, not their power. You know, facades and other layers could be very deceiving.
And I'm a big part of that as well. I have a nephew that has Asperger's, so he's very high functioning with it, but to look at him, you would never know that.
Oh, that's cool. So you've experienced that. You understand what he's like.
Yeah, he has certain triggers, you know, that come with that, and you can see those triggers coming. So the best thing to do for that is just to get him out of that situation that he's in.
That's interesting. So you actually had first realm. And I think that's important because a lot of times when you're getting out of your comfort zone or you're seeing people for who they are, you have to kind of let preconceived notions go. Things that you might think are, you know, intrinsic aren't necessarily. They could be just something you're told.
I could totally agree. I've got a couple of friends that are in the education industry, and they help out, you know, with the Down syndrome students and whatnot. And they're the most caring, patient people I've ever met.
That's awesome. I mean, I have a lot of friends that do a lot of, you know, a lot of support in the community and really get a lot out of it, as well as some people can turn out to be your best friends, can change your entire life.
Well, and something that I think I found out in my own life, actually, is that when you are helping out someone with special needs, you find out a lot about yourself that you didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly, because they're so true. I mean, they're so true. It's almost like dealing with children. I mean, children are very close to the source. And the younger they are, the closer they are to the source. And so a lot of times when you have all the BS aside, okay, you see reality. You know, if you don't see the differences, don't let the differences stop you. I mean, there are differences. There are obvious differences, but just because they don't look like you or they come from a different background or whatever doesn't mean that they're not right. They're not good friends. They're not smart people. They can't help your life. They can't enhance your life. Yes, they can do all that and more if you allow it.
Yeah, I think the movie makes that point too.
And the movie, yes, Produce makes that film, that whole entire point. And yes, you can go to www.iamproduce.com, which is cool, and you can find out some information from there. We're hoping that that goes viral as well as let's see all the other awards it wins. So stay tuned because we have a great show for you next week. And I just hope that you're having a great time here listening and being a part of Perspectives with Ashley Burgess because we love doing this show and we care about our listeners and we care about purpose and we care about what's going on in this world. And that's what's important. That's why we're still alive. That's why we're still here. Yeah, and this is important to us. It's a big deal. You know, and if you have any questions or comments, go to www.ashleyburgess.com and that'll give you all the information. But guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in 3 shakes.